Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nicknames, nicknames, nicknames. That's what we're talking about now. Jordana Green here. Sitting next to me is Joe Anderson, who's really got one of the strangest nicknames I've ever heard.
The dumbest nicknames you've ever heard.
And you know Joe from our Vikings programming. And boy, before we get into the nicknames, you're a busy guy lately.
Yeah, right.
You have like a million Viking shows coming
up. Because we have Sunday's the opening game for the regular season.
Okay.
So Henry Lake and I will be down at Eric the Red at 9 a.m. broadcasting live with Vikings Purple Sunday pregame. And then I'll be with Jeff Diamond at B52's Burger and Brew, B52 Burgers and Brew in Inver Grove Heights on Monday night at 6 for Monday Night Purple, recapping the game.
Excellent.
And then next Friday, 1 week from today, I'm filling in for Dave Lee in the morning.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I might just come in and sleep here on Thursday night.
That's a tough show. Yeah, that's a morning show.
Yeah.
Yep, good luck with that.
Which segues into nicknames.
Nicknames. Okay, because Joe's nickname is Mr. Fun. And when they first said to me, hey, have you heard of a guy named Joe Anderson? Would you like him to come co-host with you? His nickname is Mr. Fun. I said, no, it
isn't. No. and no, I don't want him to come in.
Anybody's nickname. So, okay, before we get into the origins of bro and dude and chief, because those are fascinating, what's the origin of Mr. Fun?
All right, so we go back to 1989, and I'm fresh back in the Twin Cities from wrapping up a fairly mediocre college career in Wisconsin.
Excellent.
And I'm bartending at a place called Bullwinkle Saloon over on Seven Corners. And I'm pretty good at ensuring everybody has a good time in the bar, playing fun music and keeping things lively. And someone called me Mr. Fun. And so it stuck there, and I started putting it on my time card. Now, like 22 years old, putting it on my time card, and it kind of sticks. You move forward, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I'm working at another radio station across town with a guy named Bob Yates in the morning. And Bob liked people to have nicknames because he would use it to kind of demean you. He would, rather than using your name, that's just who he was. It was part of the deal, and it was fine. So he says to me one day, he says, you have to have a nickname. And I said, well, I've kind of got one. And he says, well, what is it? And I said, it's Mr. Fun. And Bob fell out of his chair laughing because he knew he pretty much had me at that point. And so that's, and it evolved from being spelled F-U-N to P-H-U-N-N. And from that point
because
forward.
Because you couldn't get Mr. F-U-N on Twitter.
Right, right. It didn't work that
way.
And it stuck. And that was probably, what, 97, 98?
Got it.
And it carried all the way through. Now, there was a time where I tried to dump that nickname. And a radio legend here in town named Dan Donovan, who I believe has since passed away, wonderful guy and an all-timer. I told him that. I said, Dan, I went to him for counsel. I said, Geezer, I said, I think I want to get rid of this. And he looked at me and he goes, what, are you crazy?
I don't think you can ever get rid of a nickname.
He said, that's the smartest thing you've ever done in radio.
Yeah, I don't think that works that way.
So I just stuck with it. I roll with it.
You roll with it.
Yeah.
So some people call you Mr. Fun. I call you Joe.
That's fine.
That's
fine. I appreciate
it. It's all good. But everyone knows who you're talking about
they
when
call
you
me
say Mr.
Funzy. Funzy. They call me lots of different names.
Mr. Funsicles.
Right. Right. I like that on Twitter, Mr. Funsicles.
I did some research.
Thank you.
So, okay. And you're cool with it.
I'm fine.
Right. I have a lot of nicknames. You know,
yeah.
John Williams dubbed me JG, which isn't all that exciting.
Yeah.
It's pretty appropriate.
But that's okay. Yep.
You know, he dubbed my husband, handsome husband, HH. That seems to have stopped.
I bet he likes that one.
Well, he feels embarrassed, but people do come up at the fair and they're like, where's handsome husband? I'm like, oh, poor guy. But it leads us to this story. There was this piece in Culture, it's an online magazine, gives us examples of where nicknames came from. So the origin of nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask in my family, my kids have so many nicknames, we don't know the origins of.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why the little one is called the bird. I think it was because she had a laugh that sounded like a bird when she was like 4 months old. I think.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yeah.
And it stays,
they
right?
They are who they are.
Yeah.
They are who they are. So yeah. So, of course, in this piece, it gives us some of the origins. So, for example, the word bud. You would think, it came from buddy. Like, you're my buddy, right? And buddy was largely found, if you go back in history, and there is actual research on this, found largely in African-American dialect English at the time. It was supposed to address a person whose name is not known. So you don't know somebody on the street. You say buddy.
Hey, bud.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be somebody who you don't know. There you go. A second buddy theory came from B-U-T-T-Y. That's a Welsh slang term for the name companion.
Yeah, I can kind of see that, too.
Okay. I don't know that many Welsh people that are saying that around town, but I get it.
You still do that, though, sometimes. If you see someone on the street and you or someone I've forgotten their name.
For sure.
Hey, bud.
For sure.
How you doing? Yep. You know, it's just easy.
Absolutely.
And it saves you the embarrassment of saying, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. It buys you time to sit there and try to figure out, remember what their name is. I'll say, hey, bud. Hey, pal.
Because they probably forgot your name, too, so
Absolutely.
They can respond.
Yeah.
Hey, bud. So, Chief, what about Chief? If you go, I said this to Joe before the show, or in the break, if you go to New Jersey, you will hear all men refer to each other as Chief or
mm-hmm.
Boss.
Mm-hmm.
Chief or Boss. And I never hear that here. Do you ever hear that?
No. No.
I don't know if it's an East Coast thing. I guess
it's
totally must be.
It's an East Coast thing. My friends out east, all the guys, everybody calls
chief.
Each other chief.
Yeah, everyone's
they all
a chief.
Do. Yeah.
And I hear coaches do it to kids. And I guess maybe the boss, like Bruce Springsteen, maybe that's why his name is the boss, because everyone calls each other boss. But chief is derived from the old French word chef, meaning leader of the group. So it's actually a sign of respect.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Right? When I go out east every summer and my buddy Mark calls me chief.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know it's a sign of...
It's supposed to be...
Somewhat
a sign of respect. Then, of course, there's big guy. Big guy. You've heard this. Hey, big guy, what's going on? Big guy originally was an informal way of meeting a man or a boy, but sometimes it has a sarcastic tone of kind of knocking you down a level.
See, I don't think it does.
You don't?
I've never used it in that. And I've coached a lot of kids over the year. And
you say, hey, big guy.
Hey, big guy, how you doing? Or I'll say it to a friend of mine that's a bigger guy. I'll say, what's up, big guy? You know, I'll say that to him. And it's never to me, there's never anything derogatory about it. It's just, you know, you're a fairly big human.
Mm-hmm. And I've said it, but you're right. I haven't had a negative tone.
I don't think anybody
voice.
Takes it that way.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's big man.
Yeah.
Now, big man is definitely an honorific. Big man is supposed to be the center of a basketball team. And it is sort of a big I always think of Big Man as Clarence Clemens, who was the saxophonist in the E Street Band.
He was.
Springsteen. And Bruce used to call him the Big Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he was ever a center on a basketball team, but that is where this has come from. You know, Tim Duncan, Shaq, Kareem, Big Man. Big Man on campus.
Have you ever been in the presence of a center on an NBA basketball team?
I have not.
They are the most ginormous human beings I've ever seen.
Giant.
Shaquille O'Neal is the biggest person I've ever seen.
Really? So you've been next to him? Like, do you come to his belly button?
He fills up an entire standard-sized doorway.
Oh,
he has to duck to get through and then turn his body to get through the doorway.
I think that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, unless, you know, you're used to it.
But you have to get a custom car. I mean, he can afford it, but other people his size can't. A custom bed.
Mm-hmm.
All of your clothes have to be custom.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
They're big guys.
Yeah, they can afford it, but there are other men and women in the world that are that size that aren't, you know, fabulously wealthy.
I had a friend. Oh, I still have a friend. His name is Big Dan. We just call him Big Dan.
He's big.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, well, see, that's an appropriate nickname, by the way.
We called him the Big Jackass, too.
Oh, well, that's
that happens, right?
Unless it's true.
Kind of. Depends on the day.
Yeah. Let's move over to bro. I call a lot of people bro. I call a lot of people dude. We'll do dude next.
Yeah.
I hear my kids calling each other bro or their friends, right? Do you do this?
I don't use bro.
You're
I don't use
bro.
It very often. I've heard the kids use it once in a while. When my son uses it, it's kind of derogatory, I think.
Oh,
when
really?
Like he's looking at a guy. He's like, come on, bro. What's up with you? You know, that's the way he uses it.
I get it. Well, bro, according to this in culture, bro once met a self-absorbed young white man in board shorts with a taste for cheap beer.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it.
So that's it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be shorthand for privileged ignorance that thrives in groups of dominated by wealthy white straight men. So,
I love America.
Like, bro, come on, bro. Like, they seem like frat guys.
I see it. I totally see it.
Bro. So maybe we're not going to use that one.
And you can carry it out. There's brorific if you're brorific.
Yeah.
If you're one of those guys, if you're one of like, you know, like the alpha male of the bro pack, you're brorific, right? If you're all in with board shorts and the hat, a little money in your pocket from mom and dad, brorific.
It can only be from mom and dad,
right?
Though.
It's got to be mom and dad.
But
no, not from earning it.
Let me get through these. Now, dude is a word I definitely overuse in my everyday life.
I do too, a lot.
I call everybody dude. I call my kids dude.
Mm-hmm.
I have called my husband dude. I'm sure I've called Susan dude. I call Paul. And I probably shouldn't.
Do you use it? Do you
it's
say?
Annoying.
Do you say, dude, or do you say, dude? Which one is
like,
it? That's how I use it. I say, dude.
Yeah, it's probably not like, dude, like, I love it. It's like, dude, what, like, I need something from you.
Exactly.
Like, dude, what? Where is that picture? Dude, where's the script I need?
Dude,
like,
what were you doing?
Yeah,
dude, why
I
didn't
do
you get
that.
Your homework done?
And this... Yeah, like I'll say it to my guy. Dude, finish the laundry.
Right?
You know, dude, why didn't you empty the dishwasher? I asked you 4 hours ago. I can hear myself saying that
yes.
at home. So and that could be to my son or my daughters,
mm-hmm.
either one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say no male nickname is as ubiquitous as dude. It's one of the greatest all-American words. Because it is really universal.
I can hear it, and I can, yeah, it is, but it's, and it covers, I mean, just a huge landscape of meaning when it comes to it, when you're addressing somebody, right?
Exactly. Because if they do something dumb, all you have to say is, dude.
Exactly.
And they know exactly what you mean. You know, or if you're looking for, dude, it's a full sentence right there.
Yeah, it's all right there. You make your point with that one word.
So, 19th century, dude was synonymous with dandy, referring to a guy who cared too much about his looks and ended up looking silly. So now I feel different about it.
A dandy.
But I think I'm still
going to
say...
I love a dandy.
Say,
I've worked with a couple dandies in the radio world.
However, modern-day use of dude originated as slang for the dude ranch. So I think that's a little cooler. Somebody
yeah.
who worked on a ranch, a farmer, a rancher, is a dude ranch. He's
wear your cowboy hat and your boots and your blue jeans and everything else. That's kind of a dude.
He's the Big Lebowski.
A little bit, yeah.
The dude abides.
Yeah.
The dude
abides. So 19th century, though, that's kind of funny that word goes back that far.
Right.
I didn't think it would go back
completely
that far.
Completely embedded in our... In our vernacular, though. I
Mr.
Don't see
Fun only goes back like 30 years.
Well, that's pretty good.
I never would have thought it would have stuck around for 30 years.
Susan, do you have a nickname? She doesn't. She says in high school. Yeah, all right. Well, was it something you can say on the radio in high school? Go ahead, pull that mic over.
Yeah, my last name is Blanche,
uh-huh.
and so my name is Subi, and my dad ran an apiary of bees, you know, and made honey. And there's a brand of honey called Subi.
Is it named after you?
No.
Oh,
no,
too
no,
bad
no.
you're not the Sue
but
B heiress.
My name is Sue, and Sue my last initial is B, so they just call me Sue B. But
and that
B.
makes sense.
That's a good nickname.
That makes perfect sense.
That's a really
sense.
Good nickname.
Because her name and her dad and the bees, that makes perfect sense.
Someday we should just go around the whole station and give everybody a nickname.
Yeah, we should. We'll see what sticks.
Get out in front of it so they don't do it to you.
We'll see what sticks. Although I will say this, and we'll end this conversation. I named my son Maddox. And my husband and I at the time really agonized over a name that was going to be like nickname free, where he couldn't get made fun of. You know, because if you name your kid Richard these days, everyone's calling him Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not ever going to escape that. So don't do that maybe right now until we all grow up a little bit in this country. But I didn't want my kid to be named Dick. Richard wasn't on the table. But Maddox, I'm amazed to this day. Like, what do you think they call him?
Max.
Some people call him Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people call him Mad Dog.
That's a good one.
Not a bad
name. No complaints there.
Yeah.
Nope.
And now his friends have taken to calling him Docs.
Like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I never thought about
Docs.
That. I said, do you like it? He's like, yeah, it's fine.
That's all right.
You know, people say, what do you call him? I say, I call him Maddox because that's his name. That's why I named him that. But I don't have, I have other personal nicknames for him. But
this is a true story, and I know you got to take a break. My father tried to name me Toenail so they could call me Tony for short. I'm not
that
kidding.
Is not
at,
true.
The, at the hospital
that is
in 1966,
fake news.
My mother had to intercept him because he tried to name me Toenail and call me Tony for short. And I'm not lying.
Why didn't he just name you Tony?
I don't know. Let's just say. Dad enjoyed the whiskey back in the day, and I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Back in that day. We are so late for the break, but this is really a fun discussion.
Yeah.
If you have a crazy nickname, if you've given yourself one, if you've given somebody else one and it's stuck, Mr. Fun and I want to hear that. Give Susan a call at 651-989-9226. But I also want to talk about the Vikings.
Yeah.
When we return
Woo-hoo!
On CCO. Jordana and Mr. Fun, great nickname. Talking about nicknames.
Kind of.
We'll get to the Vikings in just 1 minute, but Carl says he's got a nickname he wants to share. Hey, Carl.
All right, say I'm a twin, and the story in the family goes that when we were born, my nickname was Liberace.
Why?
Because they said of the two of us, I was the pianist.
Woo!
Well said, Carl. Thank you.
Give that man a rim shot.
That's cute.
Two shows nightly. Man.
Let's talk Vikings.
Oh, let's do it.
Mr. Fun has a bunch of Vikings games, pre-games, post-game, purple.
All this stuff, right?
So you were at training camp. What are some of the interesting stories that just casual fans don't know?
Well, so training camp is kind of weird, and it's getting weirder, I think, every year. I don't know what they accomplish anymore in training camp.
Really?
If you
there's
watch
no training?
Well, they do, but then they go to the games and nobody plays. You know, there's very little participation from the starters. And if you watch the game last night, the Packers and the Bears, I think the consensus was that some of those guys, mostly all of them, could have used another game to prepare for the regular season. So the biggest thing for a football team coming out of training camp is, can you be healthy? And the Vikings accomplished that. It's because football is a very physical game. It's in practice, preseason games, regular season games, whatever it might be. As big and as strong as these guys are, they can get hurt. And if you can go into a regular season at almost full strength, that's almost like a win coming out of training camp. And the Vikings were fortunate. They had some pretty good players that were hurt heading into training camp, and they're getting healthy, and everybody stayed healthy through training camp, although I think Stephon Diggs has a little hamstring thing that he's dealing with. It sounds like he's going to play on Sunday, but he's a pretty vital part of the offense. But Linval Joseph, big nose tackle, big guy on the defense, is getting healthy. He's coming back. Mike Hughes, first-round draft choice last year, cornerback, was hurt. He'll be back in the lineup. Probably not this week, maybe not next week, but hopefully sometime before September is up. Brian O'Neill, their offensive lineman, is hurt. He's hopefully getting closer to getting back. And so they're getting everybody settled, healthy, getting ready for the regular season, and then they just have to sort through some things that I guess the biggest story would be the kicker situation, where they have Dan Bailey, who's one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history. They make a trade for a guy. They send a fifth-round draft choice to Baltimore to trade for a guy named Corey Vedvik, and they end up cutting him coming out of camp. So Bailey's the kicker. Then they switch out their punters last week. And so you think to yourself, all right, you got 53 guys on the roster. These are just two guys. But the kicker especially, Vikings history has proven over the years, is a very, very important position for this team. So Bailey's a good kicker. And I'd like to think, it sounds like they brought this kid in, and it kind of got him focused. It got him in the right frame of mind, and he's been better since. And Maxie spent more time out there than I have. He'd be a good guy to ask. But he talked on Sunday, we were on the air. He said Bailey's definitely kind of come around since they brought the kid in to challenge him. And that's sometimes what they do, is they'll if you think you're the established player in that position, they'll bring somebody in to maybe scare you a little bit and challenge you. And, and so I think those are the biggest, you know, things coming out of camp, is they're healthy. They have to sort out the kicker thing. And then they slide into the regular season. They try to figure out where it's going to go from there.
Next game is
Sunday.
I'm sorry, next show for you.
Next show is Sunday, 9 a.m. at Eric the Red, across the bank from the bank, the street from U.S. Bank Stadium.
That's right.
Henry Lake and I leading into the sports huddle. And we'll be down there. People can stop by and say hi. We'll be there before every home game. And then we'll broadcast. And then Henry and Jeff Diamond will do the halftime show and the postgame show. And then Jeff Diamond and I do Monday Night Purple from B-52 Burgers and Brew in Inver Grove Heights. And Harrison Smith will be there this week at 6 o'clock on Monday.
So, what is the Loch Ness Monster? Scientists think they might know. Find out next. I think you might win the Beyond the Headlines, you can go first.
Mana from heaven.
It's so good.
Just breaking news
out
of the world of fortified beverages.
Fortified.
The senior vice president of the White Claw Company, Sanjeev Gajwala, confirmed to CNN Business today, America's running out of White Claw.
No!
No! We're running out of the claw. Oh, my goodness gracious. I worked at the fair for one of the bars. I've never opened so many cans of White Claw, and I never will again in my life.
Really?
Mango
People
and black cherry, they love the White Claw. It's a spiked seltzer, an ABV alcohol by volume of 14%. It packs a wallop, and we're running out of it.
That's a that's like more than wine.
Yes. That's
and people love it.
Oh man!
So it's not the Zima of the
2000s. No, this is the real deal.
Okay, be careful, everyone.
America's going to have to find an alternative.
Be a run on them. So the Loch Ness Monster. I totally believe that the Loch Ness Nessie is real because, you know, I believe in Bigfoot. I saw him once running across Route 80 in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Okay.
DNA results out of Scotland's Loch Ness suggest the lake monster might not really be a monster after all. It might just be a giant eel.
That's a big eel.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, giant eels are not unusual, and they don't indicate, you know, there's nothing in the Ness, the lake, that indicates the presence of a massive eel who's been studying eels for 30 years. They said if the same study was done in any of the river systems in New England, you'd get the same results. We don't have any Loch Ness monsters here. On Thursday, researchers out of New Zealand, they collected environmental evidence, found that the Ness, the loch, had high levels of eel DNA. And based on those tests, they say the Loch Ness Monster was a giant eel.
It sounds like a conspiracy to me. I think the Loch Ness Monster is real. How many White Claws had you had when you saw saw Bigfoot?
I see. It's all coming back. Not me. A White Claw wasn't a thing. It was Zima.
Samuel Kempf is a New Zealand fistball player. He was riding a roller coaster in Shambhala in the Barcelona. The roller coaster's name is Shambhala.
Of course it is.
In a Barcelona theme park when someone sitting in front of him flipped their cell phone somehow into the air. And no. If you haven't seen the video, it's spectacular. Samuel Kempf reaches out midair, grabs this cell phone, and saves it for this unwitting passenger in front of him.
So a cell phone flies out from the cart of the roller coaster in front of him.
In front of you.
Into the air.
Yeah.
He reaches up
and grabs it
and makes the save.
If I'm on that roller coaster, I'm hanging on for dear life. I'm not. I mean, he kind of extends out of his seat to get this. There's no chance I'm doing that.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Wow. Right? They were cheap seat belts on the roller coaster.
No. They were harnesses. Rats. Have you ever seen a New York City rat in the subway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are not pretty. It's sort of like you have to see it, right?
You know,
the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, and a giant rat in New York City. Well, a radical solution may be at hand. The city plans to, maybe White Claw play a role in this story too, drown the creatures in a bucket of alcohol. A new rat dunking gadget will be rolled out at Brooklyn's most infested neighborhoods after a successful trial. So they've tried this. The device, called Echo Meal, created by a private rat trap company, attracts the rodents with food, then drops them through a trap door into an alcoholic substance. God, it seems like a lot of work. Why not just poison them? But anyway, it knocks them out and they eventually drown in the alcohol. Rats will climb a ladder to reach the bait on the device. A sensor deploys. It plunges them into the alcohol where they drown.
It seems a little involved just to kill a rat.
But apparently it works, and each eco mill can hold 80 rat carcasses.
Oh, man.
Yeah, which the media got a look at today.
Ew.
So be very grateful that this is radio right now so that you don't have to see it.
And it's not your job.
Can you imagine
collecting? What do you think's in there? And there's 80 rats floating in there.
In 2017, now rats have been a problem for a long time. In 2017, Bill de Blasio, the mayor, spent $32 million on a project to get all these rats. And there was an urban legend once that New York City had more rats than people. But that's not actually true. It has about 2 million rats. But it might actually be a nice death, drowning in alcohol, in all that White Claw.
Right?
All the White Claw.
Do you think this news is broken? Did they try to bury it on a Friday, the White Claw news? And it's broken. Now people, there's a run on White Claw right now.
There must be. But it's being used in all the rat traps in New York City. That's where it's going.
Riots. Riots in all of America trying to find your White Claw. The U.S. Navy lost a boat last year.
Yeah.
Crew members from Doolin Ferry Company's Doolin Express crew were en route to Inis Oir, a small island near Galway Bay, Ireland, on Monday when they saw a bright orange object in the water. When they got there, they noticed it was a boat that had two engines still attached. This is overseas. This is in Ireland. They were worried people might be on board. It was covered in barnacles and weeds and things like that, all sorts of stuff. There's a picture of it. It's got like all sorts of ew all over it.
It wasn't the Loch Ness Monster.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. The Navy lost this boat 75 miles off the coast of Norfolk, Virginia, during a missile test and evaluation exercise last September.
Oh, boy.
It's foam-filled, designed not to sink. And it didn't. It's the second time in 15 years that a boat during these exercises has gone missing. He said the first was eventually found in the Dominican Republic. So I think they target these boats. Mm-hmm. But it has outboard engines on it. I mean, it has everything a boat needs to run. They just must be done with the boat.
But, like, does it not have a little GPS tracking device that you can buy for $5?
I guess not.
Put on the boat?
Go find it. Drop a guy in the boat to drive it home. I mean, they looked around. They said, anybody seen the boat? And the boat was gone. And then they found it in Ireland, and now someone has to get the boat back over here.
Seems like there's a better way to do that.
Yeah, I would think so.
All right. Let's sneak this one in. A plastic surgery addict who spent over $500,000 to look like Kim Kardashian reveals she's finally learned her lesson. She says she tried to get fillers for her lips, and she ended up with fish lips. Fish lips. Botched fish lip procedure. She said her name is Jennifer Pamploma. She's 27 from Los Angeles. Says no more going under the knife. She has had 20 cosmetic procedures.
God.
She had 3 millimeters of filler placed in her top and bottom lip. And I have no idea how much that is.
That has to be a lot if you end up with the fish lips.
I guess it's a lot. She had them placed in her lip last month, and she ended up with what she calls fish lips, like balloons. She said they were painful. They wouldn't stop bleeding. So she went back to the doctor and had it all taken out. Now she says, my lip look like an old person's. They're stretched out. They look like withered and deflated balloons.
I'm sure she's a beautiful woman.
Offending old people everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Withered and deflated balloons. I mean, that's kind of karma.
It is a little bit, right?
A little bit.
At what point, $500,000 later, you're finally figuring out that it might be a waste of money?
Clearly she has more money than sense.
Yeah.
But this is unbelievable. So now she's going to stop. $500,000 later.
Somebody tell the next person that does that or wants to do that, you look just fine.
You look just fine.
You're okay. Just the way you are. You're a beautiful person.
Welcome back. Mike Max's visit to us, his Twins report, is brought to us, as always, by Giants Ridge. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, I just came from the Twins clubhouse. Mm-hmm. They have constructed what looks like a rocket or a bomb for the Bomba Squad. And it's kind of like a Stanley Cup, you know, kind of a replica kind of thing that they've put in out there. And I just posted on my Facebook. It's kind of cool because these guys came in today, Jordan. We have seen these young guys mature before our eyes, and they now believe that they can beat anybody, and they're on top of the world, and mm-hmm. they can't wait to get to the clubhouse. And they went through a situation last night where they got away with a win, and the end of the game was obviously exhilarating. Trevor May told me they're sitting in the clubhouse, and they're watching the game on delay. And the Boston Red Sox, J.D. Martinez, hits the ball off the wall, and when you watch that, you said, oh, my God, tie game at minimum. And he hears his Twins teammates in the dugout. He can hear them cheering. He goes, there's no way they could be cheering. And then he sees as the play unfolds and they take him out at home plate. He said it was just surreal because he said there's no way something good could come out of this. And his teammates were cheering, but because of the delay, he got it late. So that kind of a mood out there. They're just having fun. Rocco lets him come to the office late and everybody's in a good mood.
That's a great story. That's kind of fun. Twins host Cleveland for three game sets starting tonight. Coverage begins at 6.
Maxie, it's Joe Anderson. I'm from here. I'm heading to the campus of the University of St. Thomas for the Creighton-Durham Hall Eastridge football game. It's a great night for high school football tonight.
Lots of good games. Buffalo playing Elk River is my favorite. Last year, it was 80-70 was the final score.
That's right. That's a great one.
Aiden Bauman, the best quarterback in the state that we've seen in some time, Todd Bauman's son for Buffalo, and Elk River, Coach Hamilton. Interesting concept, he said. You know, everybody comes in when teams aren't winning, and they say we're going to throw the ball over the field. That way we can get more kids to come out for football. And instead, he said we're going to run. And it's been unbelievable because they just run the football to that single wing and they get kids to come out and buy in. And last week they scored 57 points in the opener. It's just a lot of fun. There's a lot of good games tonight. Holy Angels playing Park Center. That should be a pretty good one. We've got our eye on. Woodbury stumbled last week. Now they go to Eden Prairie, and that's formidable. Eden Prairie is really good again this year. And Chan Hassan playing Chaska in a rivalry game. So lots of good high school football games.
Not such a good football game last night in Chicago, the Packers and the Bears. I'm glad I was watching the Twins for most of the night.
Yeah, Packers was a lousy game. Well, I mean, good for the Packers. I guess they won the game, but nobody expected it to be like that. They thought you'd get a little more offense than that with Rodgers and Trubisky. And, you know, you don't know what to take from that. You don't know. You go, whoa, do you need to fear the Packer defense in a week and a half? Or do you need to go, whoa, man, they can't score points? I don't know what you get out of that. It was just a tough game to watch because you kept waiting for something big to happen. And nothing ever big on either side. Nothing offensively happened.
Do you think there was, I mean, you didn't see a lot of starters anywhere in the NFL playing in the preseason. Do they need to play more?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, because when Adrian Peterson didn't play that whole preseason the one year, he was rusty out of the gate, and it took him a while to get back into it. That's why they thought, in talking to Dalvin Cook the other day, he was so happy to get an 85-yard run or whatever it was against Arizona, because it kind of told him internally that, okay, everything I need, I've got now. And, you know, just like the Boston Red Sox, they didn't throw any starting pitchers in spring training. Didn't have them throw a pitch, and it hasn't worked out very well for them this year. You know, we certainly have learned that, you know, there's a risk of injury and everything and saving people and all that. But, boy, I tell you, it comes to, sometimes I don't know. I mean, you know, you get so taken by injuries that I know you hate to see good players go down, but, my gosh, when they get to opening day, if they're sloppy or anything like that, it costs you games, and that costs coaches jobs.
We talked a lot at the fair on Sunday when it was you and I and Dave and Henry about the Vikings and their opponent on Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons coming to town for the opening game of their regular season. That's a really good test for the Vikings Sunday. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, hard one to forecast again because it's the first game, and you don't know what Atlanta's going to do.
Hey, Mikey, get back on the mic.
I'm here at Alton Elk here. Hello?
Yeah, get a little closer. We lost you.
How's this?
Oh, there we go.
Much better.
Oh, we had a disconnection, man. Oh, yeah. If that would have happened to my car, they'd have charged me $700. as I say, coming back from the garage today. The Falcons are an interesting team. Talking to people far more deeper inside it than I am, they say, just watch Julio Jones and Xavier Rhodes. And if it takes more than one person to cover Julio Jones, Matt Ryan will have a field day, and he's going to go right at him in the first quarter. And if Jones has been hurt and banged up, too, a little bit. So if he's there, that'll be an interesting matchup. I hear the music playing, but that'll be an interesting one to watch.
Mikey, you're the best.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you all day, but we are playing them off. That's it. We'll talk a little more Twins with Henry Lake and more Vikings with Joe Anderson in the next hour on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.